Loneliness has become our silent killer. When the UK appointed a Minister for Loneliness in 2018, it acknowledged what many had suspected. We're facing a public health crisis affecting an estimated 40% of Americans, with particularly high rates among young adults. But what if this painful emotional state isn't the timeless human condition we assume it to be? Cultural historian Faye Bound Alberti offers a revolutionary perspective. Loneliness, as we know it, emerged around 1800, coinciding with profound social transformations. Before 1800, the word loneliness rarely appeared in English texts, and when it did, it simply meant oneness, the physical state of being alone without psychological weight. Consider Robinson Crusoe, published in 1719. Despite depicting a man stranded on an island for 28 years, the novel never once mentioned loneliness, a concept incomprehensible to modern readers who immediately relate to Tom Hanks creating Wilson in Castaway to preserve his sanity. This absence wasn't an oversight, but reflected a fundamentally different understanding of solitude. The transformation coincided with industrialization disrupting traditional communities, the decline of religious frameworks where God provided constant companionship, and the rise of individualism, creating new expectations for personal fulfillment. By the Victorian era, novels became filled with lonely characters seeking psychological growth while facing hostile worlds. What we now consider a universal human experience was actually born from specific historical forces that continue to shape our emotional lives today. Loneliness encompasses multiple emotions, from anger and shame to jealousy and self-pity, shaped by circumstances, culture, and environment. While childhood experiences often establish enduring patterns, modern factors like social media and economic status significantly influence isolation. Men typically report more loneliness than women, possibly due to social conditioning. Loneliness manifests both emotionally and physically, with sensations of coldness and hunger, reflected in how we describe caring people as warm and distant ones as cold. Yet isolation isn't purely negative. Artists like Wordsworth and Woolf demonstrate its potential as a creative force, suggesting that understanding solitude's benefits might help address modern loneliness. Western culture's idealized soulmate narrative, reflected in Valentine's Day, Meals for Two, and popular media, creates unrealistic romantic expectations that often lead to loneliness. The concept traces to Plato's Symposium, which portrayed humans as split beings seeking their other half. Coleridge introduced soulmate in 1822, and the term flourished through 20th century commercialized romance. Literature amplifies this ideal. Wuthering Heights depicts Catherine and Heathcliff as inseparable soul halves, while Twilight shows Bella's identity completely tied to Edward's presence. This cultural obsession fuels modern loneliness, particularly in our individualistic society where traditional connections have weakened. Self-help literature reinforces the notion of incompleteness without a partner, especially affecting young women, while modern dating often yields shallow connections. The 2014 death of Courtney Sanford, who crashed while posting Facebook updates, exemplifies our compulsion to share online despite risks. This behavior stems from FOMO, fear of missing rewarding experiences, which strongly correlates with loneliness and seeking belonging. Since 2003, social media has transformed human connection. Surprisingly, 2018 studies reveal young adults experience more loneliness than the elderly, primarily due to reduced face-to-face interaction as digital engagement increases. Social media can impair real-world relationship skills and harm self-esteem. The pattern becomes cyclical. Loneliness drives increased platform usage, especially among isolated individuals. Nations with highest social media adoption report the most prevalent loneliness. While social media addresses basic connection needs, its impact depends on whether it enhances or substitutes for in-person relationships. Online communities create imagined networks, uniting people around shared interests beyond geography. Though they offer support, they lack the accountability of traditional communities built on shared place and values, and exclusive reliance on digital connection often intensifies isolation. Fear of social death, ceasing to exist meaningfully with others, drives panic around loneliness and aging. Society often views the elderly as economic burdens rather than individuals seeking meaning. Over 2 million people over 75 live alone in Britain, with many going a month without speaking to anyone. Studies show 10 to 43% of older community dwellers experience social isolation, with rates reaching 50% after age 80. Despite recognizing aging populations' vulnerability, many lack adequate care, especially those needing daily assistance. As Monica explained, limited mobility creates isolation. I can't walk any great distances. I haven't really got anybody that I could ring up and ask to come. A gap exists between acknowledged social care needs and government action, stemming from neoliberal ideology that emphasizes family responsibility over state support. Modern concepts of elderly as a distinct life stage emerged during Britain's Industrial Revolution. As work shifted from home-based to factory systems, older people's roles changed dramatically. Those once vital to domestic manufacturing became viewed as burdens. Loneliness in old age isn't universal, but depends on aging ideologies, social care systems, and individual circumstances. The context of aging, particularly diminishing opportunities, causes loneliness more than aging itself. Loneliness, while often frightening, can be essential for creativity, as Virginia Woolf noted in how it allows one to see to the bottom of the vessel. This constructive loneliness acknowledges the gap in connections, but can become an asset for artistic creation. The Romantic poets, especially Wordsworth in Daffodils, found creative inspiration in solitude through nature. Yet, contrary to myth, they balanced reflective solitude with social connections. By the early 20th century, loneliness was seen as both distressing and necessary for creativity. Woolf embodied this duality, describing it as causing great agony while being vital for accessing deeper realities. Her experience fluctuated between liberation and terror. Mary Sarton explored isolation's dual nature, noting its vulnerability to attacks from within while recognizing its potential for truth and illumination. Like Woolf, she viewed solitude as both destructive and restorative. Yet the chosen solitude of privileged artists differs from enforced isolation experienced by the disadvantaged. While temporary solitude can spark creativity, chronic loneliness remains harmful, suggesting the need for nuanced approaches that address both social and individual forms of loneliness. Loneliness emerged from specific socio-political and economic choices, not as a universal condition. Evolutionary theory's emphasis on survival of the fittest normalized individualism and competition as natural states. This individualistic perspective fueled neoliberalism, which evolved from 19th century economic liberalism, emphasizing free markets over social responsibility. Modern loneliness developed alongside debates about state obligations and individual autonomy. The UK's paradoxical approach, appointing a minister for loneliness while cutting community resources, highlights current contradictions. Elderly people with strong social networks rarely experience loneliness, unlike those lacking basic care support. Addressing loneliness requires understanding its structural causes, varied meanings across populations, and fluid nature, from temporary to chronic. The medical approach, exemplified by developing a loneliness pill, treats symptoms while ignoring root causes and physical manifestations. Loneliness isn't inevitable. By understanding its origins and forms, we can rebuild social connections while preserving meaningful solitude. The solution lies in recreating communities where connection thrives, making loneliness a choice rather than a condition.